Well, greetings, dear friends. It's good to have you with us once again in our Wednesday night studies, Wednesday night Bible class. And I trust that the Lord will just deal with our hearts and by His very Spirit open the eyes of our understanding, quicken, if you will, the very hearing of our inward ears, open our hearts to know Him. It's good to have you with us and remind you that these Wednesday night Bible classes, as all of our internet ministries here, are brought to you through the facility of the Midwest Center for Truth here in Northwest Arkansas. And all of these classes are a ministry of CMI Bible Research Center, located here on the campus, and they are a production of CMI Audio Video Network System, being brought to you on the World Wide Web through Ustream and YouTube. So may the Lord bless you as we just consider together the feasts of the Lord, the feast of the Lord that He gave to Israel as a very, not just a written testimony, but a testimony in action, the building of the tabernacle was the very center of these feasts given of God to Israel, from Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles, and all of the feasts that are gathered together in those three major gatherings, all of which constitute one spiritual year for Israel. And then they just started all over again. And their spiritual year was different than their civil year, but these feast days were ordered of the Lord, and actually they were the beginning in the sight of God. They were the beginning of Israel. You remember that God told Moses while they were still in Egypt, this is the beginning of months for you, the beginning of time, leaving the time that associated itself with the land of Egypt and with the whole world, and entering into a new concept of time altogether. You know, the reality of that is that we have come to that same concept, that same truth in Christ, as a new creation in Christ Jesus. Time as the world knows it, time as it was set forth day by day by day, and month by month and year by year, is no longer time in the new covenant. In the new covenant, in Christ, there is but one day. And it's that day that I want to talk to you about again in this class. Because these were feast days. They actually occupied days. 7 days, 1 day. And then in the Feast of Tabernacles, actually 8 days. And the reason for that was that they were all considered to be holy convocations, that is, Sabbath days, a day of absolute and total rest. Now, the term rest there does not simply apply to tired bodies laying down and taking a nap. That's not the point. The point of rest is that there is no activity, no works of the flesh. And again, we come and encounter that same reality in Christ, where it is not I, but Christ who liveth in me. Well, I want to look at these feasts as they are summed up in Christ as one day. One day. The feast day of atonement. The feast day of atonement is what we've been looking at, and I think that I read to you before that the Day of Atonement was the most solemn day of all days in Israel. We need to understand also that the feast of the seventh month, the feast of the seventh month, gathered into itself the fullness, the complete meaning of all the feast days of the Lord. The feast of the seventh month, Passover being the first month, Pentecost the third month, and the Feast of Tabernacles the seventh month. And this Feast of Tabernacles, as we'll look at in another lesson or two, in another part of this search, is the feast that actually speaks of the revelation of Jesus Christ. And I'm looking forward to getting into those lessons, because there's a tremendous spiritual order set forth in the feasts of Israel. You look at Passover and the beginning of all things for Israel, the beginning of time, the beginning of the month for Israel. Passover is all about Christ. It's His death, His burial, His resurrection. It's His death and burial and resurrection. It is about Christ Himself. And the new covenant is our salvation. And the new covenant of that salvation is all about Christ. Now, I know all things summed up in Him, and we'll talk about that, but it's Him. It's without Him, there would have been no feast given of God in Israel. Without Him, well, there is no new creation. And without Him, there is no new covenant. He is the person of all of that. And so it is first the person. Not only Christ coming forth out from among the dead, the firstborn among many brethren. And not only that, the only begotten out from among the dead. Christ. But without Christ, we have no salvation. It is Christ who is the absolute author and finisher of our faith. It is Christ who is the Alpha, the Omega, of the very plan, purpose of God, which is summed up in our salvation. It is the person. It is the person. And it is the same way, whether it is in our new birth or when our baptism or whether it is the adoption, which is the revealing of that very person in the believer. Until we see him inwardly as the Father desires to reveal him, we have no real, no spirit-given comprehension of our salvation. None of it. None of it, period. None of the terms that apply to it. None of them do we comprehend except in the face of Jesus Christ. None of the terms. Reconciliation. None of that. We understand that we are reconciled by his death, but it's his death. And the end of that is him, it is rather, not I, but Christ himself living in me. And the whole focus of all of these feasts are upon Christ. And Passover is all about Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. Pentecost is also all about Christ, but it brings Christ into his body. You and I. You and I. Christ in you and Christ in me. The significance of Pentecost is the coming of Christ to indwell and therefore virtually create and raise out from among the dead his own body. And then Tabernacles, the Feast of Tabernacles, is really about the glory of our salvation, the glory of our union with Christ, the glory of Christ in you. It's about that. It is about that Christ being revealed and the light of his presence, that is the glory of God, shining in our soul. Not coming and going, shining in our soul. It is that shining that constitutes the day. As we walk in the light, as he is in the light. Experiencing fellowship one with another, experiencing cleansing. It is walking in that light. Well, so we're looking at these feasts actually summed up in the feasts of the second month, the blowing of trumpets, the Day of Atonement, the time of the booths, all of that gathered together as the Feast of Tabernacles. And that feast is also a summation because it ends on the eighth day. There is an eighth day Sabbath. The whole thing ends with an eighth day Sabbath, and that happens to be the Sabbath day that Christ declared by his presence and by what he said on that day. You remember the Feast of Tabernacles was approaching. His disciples wanted him to go with them. He said, no, you go on. And in the middle of that time, he arrived, and then he showed himself on what is called that great day, which is that eighth day Sabbath. And he showed himself physically. He announced himself to all of Israel on that day, crying out, let he that thirst come unto me. And he went on to say that out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. This he spake at the end of the Feast of Tabernacles. The Sabbath day being summed up in Christ himself. And I wanted to read about that because this Feast Day of Atonement was a great day. Several things. It was a day of holy convocation, which was this Sabbath, a Sabbath rest. It was the day of fasting, which was the afflicting of the soul. It was a day of the affliction of the soul. It was a day of solemn assembly. It was the 10th day of the 7th month, and on goes this Day of Atonement. But all in all, it was a great Sabbath day, the Sabbath day. And the picture of it, which we've already been talking about in classes before, is on that day, the activities, the ministry of the high priest entering in behind the veil. Now you understand that Christ our high priest does not enter in behind the veil. He did away with the veil. The veil is no longer found or is not found in him. If there's a veil, then it's upon the heart of non-believers, upon the heart of Christians who have not seen him. But the high priest entered in behind the veil, and he came out and showed himself to be the salvation of all of Israel. And we've already talked about that. I mentioned that simply to say that it is the Sabbath day, the day of absolute and complete rest. And Christ makes it so. Christ makes it so. So in Hebrews 4, which would be a good chapter to just stay in for a long period of time, but I'm just going to read a few verses to you. Verse 4, beginning. Well, verse 3, for we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said. And verse 4, for he spake of a certain place. He spake in a certain place of the seventh on this wise. And God did rest the seventh day from all his works. Now you've got to bring this right into the cross. got to bring this right into the cross. God did rest from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter in. And he's already said, we which have believed do enter into that very rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein. And they to whom it was first preached entered not in, the Jews, because of unbelief. See, hon, they had all of these feasts, but in the reality, of spirit, they never entered into any one of these feasts. They never entered into Passover. They never entered in to the feast that make up Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of the First Fruit, all of which speaks of Christ and his death, burial, resurrection. They never entered into that. I'm just totally amazed at those who are still using these feast days as historical events, because in their fulfillment they are not historical events, but a spiritual reality revealed, the substance of which is Christ, and a spiritual reality revealed in those, in believers who are in Christ, revealed of God in the person of his Son. And yet there are many who want us to believe that the Feast of Tabernacles, what we're talking about, has not yet come because it is not yet, I don't know what to call it. It's not yet a historical event. And they point to Passover as a historical event and Pentecost as a historical event, but none of them were. The Jews partook of none of them. They had a Feast of Passover, hon, but they didn't enter into God's Passover. They had a Feast of Pentecost, but they did not receive God's Pentecost. There was 120 gathered, waiting for what Christ had promised. I will come again. I will dwell in you. In that day you will know I am in my Father. The work is complete. You are in me, a new creation in Christ. I am in you, the very substance of all of it, the very resurrection and the life himself, the high priest, the King of kings, the Son of God. I in you. And yet, there are those in the church world today who still insist that it must have a date put to it. I mean, you know, like whatever today is, I'm not really for sure. I think it is. It's the month of March, and it's Wednesday, but I don't really know what date it is on Wednesday. Doesn't make any difference. Because it's not about times and dates, not even now about the times of Israel. And we'll look at that as we go on in this little search on the day. It's about the day that Christ is. He is the day of Passover. He is the day of Pentecost. And darling, He also is the day of atonement. It is Christ Himself in which all of these feasts, which were testimonies anyway, testimonies of Him, testimonies given of God to a people who at the very end, as we read in the New Testament, would not receive Him. Would not. They had the feasts, but they wouldn't receive Him. They had the prophets, but they wouldn't receive Him. They had the promises. I'm talking about all of this given of God in word, but they wouldn't receive Him when He came in person. The day, that Sabbath day, that's what I'm reading about. And so we're gathering up all of these feasts into the Feast of Tabernacles. And then we'll go on and specifically look at the term atonement before we leave this particular lesson or this particular search. Not before we leave this immediate lesson. In this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, Hebrews 4 and 5, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached, Israel, entered not because of unbelief. Again, verse 7, he limited a certain day, saying in David, and here it is, hon, today. And that's the word that gathers all of these Sabbaths and all of these days into itself. Not tomorrow. Today. If you will hear His voice. We just finished a few weeks ago with the Feast of Trumpets, which translates to the voice of the Lord. And we talked about that voice of the Lord and hearing His voice and turning to see the voice face to face. Christ in you. Christ in you. Today. See, this is an endless day. It's not a Wednesday or a Thursday or a Friday. It's today. Today. See, whether it's Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday, it's today. Now, tomorrow, here for us, will be Thursday, and yet, I will say, today. You understand what I'm saying? This is the term, the word, that describes that day which is Christ. It's not a day that is coming. It is the day that has come. Today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them, it's in the King James, it's Jesus, it should be Joshua. For if Joshua, in leading them into Canaan, if Joshua had given them rest, then would not he afterward have spoken of another day, calling it today. Today. You and I have come to the today. Blessed be the Lamb of the living God. It's the only day there is in the new covenant. It's the only day there is in the new creation. Because it is a day not measured by natural time. For if Joshua had given them rest, then would he not have afterwards spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore. Now see, we have up here in verse 6, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein. Because those to whom it was presented firstly did not. And that speaks of Israel. Natural Israel speaks of the Jews. They did not. But the rest is there. It remaineth. Some must enter in. And he has said up here again when he first started, we which have believed do enter in to that rest. Now, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Not one that hasn't come, one that is come. I about fell out of my chair one day when I was just doing some searching and looking at various commentators, one of whom was a very much dyed-in-the-wool dispensationalist, futuristic, and he used that verse to say, see, that day hadn't yet come. And I can't get that out of these verses by reading them in any version of the Scripture. But that's what he was talking about. And the very next verse just hits that theory right between the eyes and destroys it. There remaineth therefore. He spoke of another day. He called it today. All of these Sabbaths summed up in it. There remaineth therefore rest to the people of God. For he, now this is the verse we want to talk about. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works as God did from his. Who on that day, that typical day, that typical Day of Atonement, who first of all entered in to his rest and ceased from his works and came out and showed himself to Israel? The high priest. This is speaking of our high priest. Now there's no doubt about this. This is not something that I just assumed. This is literally, virtually a fact, which is the truth. All right? For he that is entered into his rest. That is not talking about you or me. Now, it has great effect upon you or me. It has great effect upon any believer who enters into that rest. But here, he is giving the very certification that that rest does remain for those who will come in faith believing. It isn't done away. It remains because it is finished. It is absolute. And who makes it that way? He that is entered into his rest. He there is none other than Christ. Surprisingly, a large number, in fact, probably more than not, Bible commentators actually agree with that. That this is speaking of Christ. Those that do so very vehemently. That none but Christ fits this description. None but Christ. And you know how he entered into his rest? It was through the cross. It was through the cross. It was through death, burial, and resurrection. It was in doing away with the veil. It is a finished work. He that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased. Also what? I'll show you in a minute. He also hath ceased from his own works as God from his. The word did there shouldn't be. It's all right, but it shouldn't be there. It was added. As God from his. Sweetheart, that very day, that day that is fulfilled in Christ of his death, burial, resurrection, ascension to the Father, showing himself to the Father, that day the Father saw his work finished. The type and shadow of that is in Genesis. On the seventh day, the great Sabbath day, was the finish of the first creation. The only one that occupies the Sabbath day is God. The glory of it, the rest of it, everything of it. He did nothing to make that day exist. That day exists because he is the light and the substance of it. He made that day. How can I say this? He made that day by his eternal word, that eternal word without whom nothing that was made, and by whom all and for whom all things that were made. It's Christ. It's Christ. And no man can enter into that day except that man come by Christ. He is the way, the truth, the life of that day. That was the day that was set forth in Israel as the Sabbath day. And all of these feasts themselves being Sabbath days, holy convocations unto the Lord. And there's nothing really seen in any of these feast days. The testimony of all of these feast days is only fulfilled in Christ himself. All of them. All of them as in each of them, and all of them as in all of them summed up together. It's Christ. It's Christ. For he that is entered into his rest, Christ, he also hath ceased from his own works as God from his. Father, glorify thy name. Father, it is finished. Father, I have finished the work that thou gavest me to do. Glorify thy Son with the glory that I had with you before the world was. Here he is, right here in verse 10. Let us labor therefore. The word labor has nothing to do with the works of the flesh, but make it the sole intention of our heart. To enter into that rest. Lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the Word of God, that eternal Word which is Christ in you, that eternal Word which is Christ Himself, whether He's in you or not, but that eternal Word, Christ Himself, which is in you. Who is in you? For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. This has to do with an aspect of this Day of Atonement, which was the day of afflicting of the souls. With them, it was them judging their own hearts, them judging their own souls, but it was coming as those who were in need of atonement, in need of reconciliation. That's the way Israel came. And all of the offerings and the sprinklings of blood, because the reconciliation is by the blood, the reconciliation is by the death of Christ, that went on during that day is almost unbelievable. Everything there had to be reconciled unto God, even the tabernacle itself and all of the furniture that was in it, and the high priest and all the priests and the families of the priest, and then all of Israel and the families and the children of all of Israel. I mean, everything had blood put on it that day, friends. So it was a day of them coming in humility and confessing their need of God. It is called a day of inward judging, or judging period. And when I was looking at that, I thought of something, which is actually the judgment of this day, since this day is today and is only full the day of rest, which is fulfilled in Christ. Now, let me read to you concerning what I just read here, almost in the same words, even to the this living Word, which is Christ Himself. Even to the dividing asunder, is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So we look at 1 Corinthians 4, because it's exactly what Paul is talking about here. Now, hon, let me emphasize, not the condemner. There may have been a lot of condemning of Israel, but Israel was under the law, and it was all under the law. And all of these feasts were under the law as well. You might think about that when you try to say that one of them hasn't yet taken place. In that through Christ we have been made, become, and are dead to the law. Chapter 4, 1 Corinthians 4. Let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. And moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Now, he's having a lot of trouble with the Corinthians, saying that he's probably not even, you know, that he's not even an apostle. The Corinthians have had a lot of those who would do harm to the gospel come into their midst. But with me, Paul is saying, with me personally, it's a very small thing. A very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment, period. Yea, I judge not mine own self. For I know nothing by myself, and that would be I know nothing against myself. Yet am I not thereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore, judge nothing before the time. I used to read this years ago, and every time I read it, and I still kind of think about it now, but every time I read that, there's an old slogan with those who make wine. And of course, wine was being made during the time of the writing of these scriptures as well, but I don't know that it has anything to do with it, but they said, call nothing wine before its time. Call nothing wine before its time. Therefore, judge nothing before the time. Until the Lord come. Until he appear, is what is being said here. Till he appears in his presence. And I won't go through all the definitions of that word come. But until the Lord come. It'll be plain here in a minute that it's in you. Who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness. Yeah. And will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then, him being revealed, him appearing, bringing light to the hidden things of darkness, will make manifest the counsels of the heart. And then will every man have his praise. Now that actually means then God shall show each man as he is found to be. Oh my. This is why everyone who has ever truly seen him, even in the types and shadows, but most particularly revealed within, has fallen upon his face before the Lord. This is why Paul says, it is not I, but it is Christ who liveth in me. And I could go on and quote from Paul all day here. The effect of the appearing of Christ. None of this is under condemnation. None of this is under condemnation. But it is the coming of the truth in light of the appearing of the indwelling Son of God. Here is the judgment. Here is the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit. Here is the dividing asunder of the living from the dead. Here is me seeing, O Father, it is not I who live. It is thy Son who liveth in me. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And that's the result of seeing him. It is our heart crying out, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We cry out in reality of the truth. Well, this day came to that as the high priest came back out and showed himself to be the salvation of Israel. And that day was not ended in condemnation, but in Israel seeing and rejoicing in their salvation. Hallelujah. Hon, that's really what this day is all about, in whom we dwell. Really it is. Though all the days that are set forth in the scripture with particular emphasis upon them are come to be summed up in him. And our time is about gone, so let me just show you something about these feast days and all of the Sabbath days and all of the times, the feasts of the Lord, the times of gathering, the times involved in all of those gatherings, the times of the numbering of Israel, not so much by number like 1, 2, 3, 4, but numbering Israel as to its fullness, was all summed up in those days. All of it was, darling. Now, Paul says in Ephesians concerning those times, all the times coming to be summed up. And that's exactly what he says in Ephesians in the very first few sentences of this letter. Verse 9. Having made known. It's in the very process here. Having made known to us the mystery of his will, that which was hidden, actually hidden in Christ, before the foundation of the world. And it's still this day hidden to the natural mind, whether it's the natural mind of the sinner or the natural mind of the Christian, it is still hidden from the natural mind. Be it Jew, Gentile, rich, poor, bond, free, male, female, the natural mind is still hidden. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself. And what is it that he has that? In other words, to the end that, what is she showing? For the purpose that, to the end that, in the administration, this is not the word dispensation in any of the viable writings. It has been mistranslated here. Most every Bible scholar will just, make a big deal out of that. That in the administration, and the word in here is correct, it's in. In the administration of the fullness of the times. Hon, that's the administration of Christ. That's the administration of the Spirit. That is the same administration that Paul speaks of in Colossians 1. Colossians 1, let me see if I'm thinking, Colossians 1. Verse 24, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to, and King James has the same word again, dispensation, but it's the same Strong's number, administration. Whereof I am made a minister according to the administration of God, which is given to me for you to do what, Paul? King James says, fulfill the word of God. The better translation is to preach the word in fullness, to show the word fulfilled, to bring the word to bring every scripture, the word of God, to its fulfillment, to fulfill the word of God, to preach to you fully the word of God, even the mystery, not keeping that hidden either, which has been hid from ages and from generations, but is now made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery, even among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the expectation of glory. Same thing we're talking about here, that in the administration of the fullness of times, he might do what I'm talking about today, that he might gather together. That actually means that he might sum that he might gather together, that he might sum up in comprehension, in one, all things in Christ. Both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in him. Christ is the great person of the summing up of the all things of God. Summed up in him as to their comprehension. And that's the reason Paul uses the term in Ephesians 3, uses that very term. Verse 18 in Ephesians 3, may be able to comprehend with all saints. What is the breadth, the length, the depth, the height? Talking about Christ and that which is in Christ and in the knowing of him. And he goes on with this. So, hon, we're talking about the day which is Christ. The day of atonement, which is Christ. The day of reconciliation, which is Christ. The day of our salvation, which is Christ. The day of fulfillment, where all things are fulfilled, which is Christ. And once again, we're out of time, and I don't think I've ever read these verses, but we'll get around to it as we continue. Proverbs 4:18 says, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Peter says the same thing. Second Peter chapter 1, verse 19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, speaking of Christ himself, whereunto you do well to take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. I can't read that without thinking at least of 2 Corinthians 4 and 6, where Paul says, For it is God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Who shineth in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Hon, Christ is the day in substance, and He is the light of that day, Himself being the outshining, the brightness of the glory of God. Hallelujah, hon. Not only have we come to the day, that day dwelleth in you. It's not about coming to some season, coming to something that is sitting out there waiting for us. Oh, please don't go down that path. No, the day is come to arise in our hearts, that we may walk in the light as He is in the light. The day is Christ. The light of that day is Christ revealed in you. The Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of the Last Month, is all about the revelation of Jesus Christ. All right, we'll stop right here. May the Lord bless. And let me just tell you how much we appreciate you being with us. We really do. Whether in this class or whether in Brother Rabin's class or whether it's in Brother Jim's class or Daniel's class, whatever, we appreciate you being with us during these times of scripture searching and sharing. It's really why we're here, that we may reach out to you. You who are seeing us now, and then beyond you to those who have not yet seen us, throughout the body of Christ around the world, thank you for being with us. And thank you for those who are helping us, those who send financially. We appreciate it so much. We spend very little, if any, time talking about it, except to say thanks to those who are doing that, because it helps us reach out beyond ourselves. That's what it's all about. Reaching out, not just continuing what we're doing, but increasing that outreach as the Lord directs us to do so. So may the Lord bless you. Thank you very much, and amen.